I'd like to speak to you from Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Just a few things here before we get started. You will notice if you're holding a King James Version of the Bible on your lap that there is no heading for this psalm. It's unlike many psalms that say a psalm of David in the heading. And up to this point, only Psalm 1, 2, and 10 are not titled as a psalm of David. In many of the psalms, there is a cry for help, times of real distress. But I don't think that this psalm is like that. One author wrote concerning the psalm, "If the purest form of a hymn is praise to God for what he is and does, this is a fine example." Some would say it is a psalm that tells of the great and awesome God. The New King James Version has the heading of it, "The Sovereignty of the Lord in Creation and History." Although I agree with these headings, I want to think of this psalm under the heading of the divine watchfulness of an omnipresent God. We will read of a God looking down on all of us, and of the eye of the Lord in this psalm. So let's look then at Psalm 33, and we'll commence our reading at verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Please note verse 13 and 14. "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh down upon all inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." Kind of a military little interlude there. We continue, noting verse 18, please. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." The Hubble telescope is a very special telescope which orbits far above the earth. As I thought of that sentence, I confess to you that sometimes I forget that there is one above us that we have read about that is looking down upon us day by day. So the Hubble telescope, it orbits far above the earth. Hubble allows us to see objects more clearly because it is above the clouds in the Earth's atmosphere. Clouds block the view of the Earth-based telescopes, which scientists have used for many years. No doubt, even in recent months, meteorologists and people that study weather and the stars and so on, they've told us, "Look up tonight. This is going to be a one-in-a-lifetime chance to see." There was planets that lined up not too long ago and all kinds of stars and everything. And the first question everybody asks is, "What's the forecast?" "Well, it's cloudy." It's cloudy. That once-in-a-lifetime to see this, it's cloudy. That was a problem for people on Earth looking up into the universe. The clouds got in the way. And that's why the Hubble was put into orbit. Little problem here. Once Hubble began returning images that were less clear than expected, NASA undertook an investigation to diagnose the problem. Ultimately, the problem was traced to a miscalibrated equipment used during the primary mirror's manufacture. The result was a mirror with an aberration, that's a little flaw. Get the size of this. This little flaw was 1/50th the thickness of a human hair. Just a little wee flaw that occurred in the grinding process of the mirror. Replacing the mirror was not practical. It's in orbit. So the best solution was to build replacement instruments that consisted of 5 pairs of corrective mirrors that countered the effects of the flaw. That fixed the flaw much the same way as a pair of glasses. It corrected the vision as glasses correct the vision of a nearsighted person. So those who can't see great distances are nearsighted and need glasses. I can certainly agree with that. And it's so good to see you now that I have my new glasses. This made me do a lot of thinking, and that's why I read from Psalm 33. How different are the eyes of God? Again, I use the expression divine watchfulness. Divine watchfulness. Perfect clarity, perfect vision. Nothing is out of focus. Nothing is blurry. Nothing outside his line of vision. No imperfection. Why? Because our God is a sovereign God. Unlike man's telescopes on Earth, clouds are not a problem. We sang about clouds tonight, and I believe Mark mentioned clouds. Nahum 1 verse 3. In the whirlwind and in the storm, the clouds are the dust of his feet. The clouds are the dust of God's feet. Clouds don't get in the way of God. We fully believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. We use the words omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. The prefix omni means all. Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. This is an incredible thing to think of. Nothing and no one, regardless of where they are, can escape being observed by the watchful, all-pervading eyes of God. God sees all people and knows all people, both the evil and the good. Another verse that confirms that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere is 2 Chronicles 16, 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The eyes of the Lord conveys the all-knowing, all-seeing, limitlessness of God, and yet at the same time, his personal, ever-caring nature. God is always, always paying attention to our needs or cries. Psalm 34, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Omnipresence is God's characteristic of being present everywhere to all ranges of both time and space. Although God is present in all time and space, God is not locally limited to any time or space. God is everywhere and in every now, every present moment. No molecule or particle is so small that God is not fully present in it. God is very interested in small things. Think of the Gospels and how they tell us about how that every sparrow that falls, God is aware of it. Do you have a small thing in your life or a large thing? You can bring it before God. God's interested. God's interested in that small thing, that great thing. God is interested in you as an individual. No galaxy is so vast that God does not circumscribe it. God is not restricted or limited in any way. He has no boundaries, no borders. God is naturally present in every aspect of the natural order of things, in every manner, time, and place. We could look back to the beginning of Psalm 23, where we read, and in verse 6 it says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Isaiah 40, verse 12, it says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." We learn later in this chapter that it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. It's God. God does all that. God is actively present in every different way, in every event in history, as the provident guide of human affairs. God is in a special way attentively present to those who call upon his name, who intercede for others, who adore him, who petition and who pray earnestly for forgiveness. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He is the one that we can and should call out to. He is present in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is present in the universal church that covers the earth and against which the gates of hell will not prevail, as Mark prayed in his prayer tonight. Amen to that. Likewise, he is in heaven, manifesting every blessing that we cannot even begin to comprehend. There he will be displaying his manifold blessing, his manifold love, and his manifold kindness. We will be fully taken up with him in his very presence. Can you imagine what that is going to be like? To be in the presence of God, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're sitting here under the sound of my voice and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, do it now. Do it today. You will not face the wrath of his judgment in his presence. You will be forever in his presence. What will it be like to look upon him? That very first glimpse when we enter in to the presence of God. I can hardly wait. It is so exciting to think that our sins can be forgiven just as sure as you know your own name, and to be forever in the presence of God. If you haven't done it, trust Christ. Well, much more could be said about this, but I want to get more personal tonight. It's good to ask, where is God today in my life? How do I see him? He is present with me day by day, but do I take a chance, an opportunity to look up? Think of that Hubble that is shooting down pictures of Earth, of a holy and righteous God that is looking down upon us, everywhere around us, no matter where we are, watching over us. We can know his presence. I want to leave a lot of verses with you. If you don't want to look them up, it's okay. I'm happy to read them to you. But just a collection of verses that I hope will remind us of the divine watchfulness of an omnipresent God, a God watching out for us that is always present. Psalm 125, verse 2, it says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth, forevermore." In those mountains, I see God's presence, protection, his love, and care and mercy. It is to be surrounded in a good sense, a really good sense. Those mountains aren't going anywhere and neither is our God. I know that you know that I like word pictures. But I've been thinking about that surrounding of the mountains. Is it any wonder that the airport has a hug rug? You come off the plane, and you haven't seen that person that you love so much. And you embrace them. They had to put it away during COVID because nobody could hug. But he's back out there. Just a few weeks ago, our family went to the airport, and somebody came down that elevator, and we got to the hug rug. Well, we tried to, and we embraced that person. Our God surrounding us, those mountains that won't go anywhere. I see a lot of people after the meetings here embracing. That's good. Keep it up. Showing the love. A brother said, put a little love on them. It's good. And that's the type of God we have surrounding us. Are you enjoying that protection? Are you enjoying that fellowship, that relationship? This mountain surrounding, a beautiful embrace, a God that's not going to go away. His love doesn't, he's not a fair weather friend. Always there. He is around about us then. Next one, he is above us. Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. A God that's above us. He's in heaven above. He is beneath us. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you and shall say, destroy them. Those everlasting arms beneath us, protection, love, care, fellowship. He is before us. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse 22 says, he did not take the pillar away. He is always before us, always before us. Where does he want to take us? He wants us to move in his will, in his fellowship. He's always before us. He is behind us. Isaiah 52:12, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behind us, protection and care. What's the next one? He is with us. He is with us. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I love that. A righteous right hand. The next one, he is our right hand. Isaiah 41:13, just a few verses down the chapter. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Every time you read of the right hand in the scriptures, it's special. It's important. Who sits at the right hand of God? We know who. The right hand of righteousness. He is with us. He is on our right hand. But he is for us. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who? Who can be against us? Verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with his also freely give us all things? He is for us. But he is also near us. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Call out to him. I've had to do that in my own life. Lord, I need you. Show your presence to me. Embrace me. I need you. He is near us. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Those who are broken in spirit. But he is in us as well. Colossians 1, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope is not a hope so hope. It is a know so hope. We know in whom we have believed. Well, I'm going to repeat the one that we read already from Psalm 33, verse 18. His eye is upon us. Go with that thought. His eye is upon us. Psalm 33, 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. For many years, I've had this little piece of paper. It is brown and it is deteriorating right before my eyes. And yet, as I came across it recently, there's a little poem on it, and it's entitled, Christ is All and in All. Let me read it to you, and I'll close. He's my rest when I am weary, my joy when I am glad, cheer when my path is dreary, my comfort when I'm sad. He holds me when I'm slipping. He lifts me if I fall. To me, he is most precious. He is my all in all. I hope that as you leave this evening and you go through the rest of the week, that you'll be aware of the divine watchfulness, the omnipresent God. Loved us, gave himself for us, wants to walk with us every day. Lord bless his word to you and to myself. Let's pray.